Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Yom Daf Lamed Tes. We left off on Daf Lamed Ches on the base, about five lines from the end of the page. Amr B'chir Bar Abba at the very end of the line. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. Also on behalf of DailyGiving.org, an organization that enables everyone to easily perform the mitzvah of tzedakah every single day. 100% of the collected money is given daily to different organizations around the world. I joined and I encourage everybody else to do so as well. Please go to DailyGiving.org. Also by Rosie and Mark Friedman, Lila in the Shambles of Rosie's grandparents, the Glucks and the Gedalowitzes who perished in the Holocaust, and was Yartzeis of the 3rd and the 10th of Sivan, and also by Jeff and Jason Misher and families, in memory of their grandparents whose Yartzeis are this week, Yisrael ben Meir, Aaron ben Yirmiyo Yoshua, and Silka Bas Avram. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first we're going to try to finish off the third parak of Maseches Yuma. We're going to discuss how Hashem helps out a person in their chosen path, whether it be Latov or not so good. And then the next parak is going to begin with a Mishnah that describes the drawing of the lots to determine which Seir goes to Hashem and which Seir goes to Azazel. And then we're going to discuss the miracle. The Gemara is going to elaborate on that a little bit, on that process a little bit, whether the Kohen Gadol had to lift out both lots or the Sagan helped him out. And then we're going to discuss the miracles that happened in the days of Shimon HaTzadik. Not so much it was miracles in an open miracle kind of way, but coincidences in the sense that things always turned out the right way. When it was a 50-50 chance, Shimon HaTzadik was there for 40 years and everything always turned out the right way. We're going to see on the flip side, 40 years before the Chorban HaBayis, things always turned out the wrong way. It was the opposite of what happened in the days of Shimon HaTzadik. That we're going to see on Amud Beis. Then the Gemara is going to discuss in Amud Beis how certain events in the Beis HaMikdash were heard from a very great distance, unnaturally so. People were able to hear what was going on in the Beis HaMikdash. And then at the very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to discuss whether the Hagrala is Ma'akev, since we're going to be discussing drawing the Goral, so we're going to talk about whether that process is Ma'akev in terms of the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim. So let's begin again with five lines from the bottom of the page on Lamed Chesam Beis. Rabbi B'chia Barabba Amar B'yochum, Kibin Shiyatu Rav Shnosu Shaladim Lochata, Shuvinu Chote, Shenema Ragli Chasidav Yishmar, that from the Pasuk Ragli Chasidav Yishmar, we see that if a person goes through most of his lifetime without sinning, he's never going to sin anymore. Ragli is a lashon of the end of, that the end of his lives are HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards over the Chasidim that they shouldn't have, they shouldn't violate any Averos anymore. The Rishonim are already bothered by the Kasha. What does that mean? Hashem takes away a person's Bechira Chafshis? And also, is that even true? Don't we have stories in history not that way? Yochanan Kohen Gadol for 80 years was a Kohen Gadol, and then at the very end he became a Tzduki according to the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Chavtes. So apparently HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not protect him from violating any averus. So Tos Yishanim and Tos Rush suggest that if a person goes purposely in the wrong path, so certainly he could violate averus even if he went most of his life without sinning. When we say Ragli Chasidav Yishmar, it means that he gets a lot more Siyata Deshmaya than a person normally gets. Normally, we get a certain amount of Siyata Deshmaya that Avera opportunities don't present themselves in such a terribly strong way. That person gets a much greater Siyata Deshmaya, that fewer opportunities come up for Avera, but he still has a Bechir Chavshis to do as he pleases. The Netziv explains in Merome Sada that the Shemira that we're talking about over here is Ragli Chasidav Yishmar Urushon Bechoshech Yidamu, that the Onesh of Shemayim that comes about through Averos is like a shadow that comes Mimela, that meaning when a person does an Avera, it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to punish him. It's not something that is like a process. It's just an automatic. It's built into the Bria. That's the natural repercussion. Much like if the sun is shining and you move your arm, so the shadow moves its arm also. It just happens automatically. But seeing a shadow can only happen when there's light. When you're Yoshev B'choshech, then you don't see any shadow. So an Onesh that comes right away, guards a person from further averos, because he's going to see right away that what's happening. He's going to see right away that it doesn't pay to live life that way. So that's what the pasuk says: Rishayim b'choshech yidamu. But the Rishayim don't get to see the onesh for their averos, and mimela they're going to continue on their path. That's how the Tziv explains. That's what it means. Ragli chasidav yishmar, that Kodesh Baruch Hu protects the chasidim by giving them an onesh for whatever it is that they do wrong immediately, but not that they lose their bechiru chavshis in any way. In Lev Eliyahu, Rav Eliyahu Lapian explains a little bit differently, based on what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos in Perek Dalid, that someone who's knowing bedarkei refuah, if the doctor tells him that if you take this medicine, I take responsibility, you're not going to get sick your whole life. But he says that doesn't work when there's a makas dever ba'olam. If a doctor can give you instructions of how to live a healthy life and can say that by natural means, if you follow these instructions, you're not going to get sick. But when there's a plague, everyone's going to get sick. So Lev Eliyahu suggests that's what this is as well. That when a person doesn't sin for the majority of his life, he's going to be pretty much protected, but he's not going to be protected against the plague when the spiritual status of society is so degraded that nobody's going to be safe. Debei Rabbi Shila Amri, and they said in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shila, Kivin Shabal Liado Dvar Aveira Pam Rishon Ushni Aveinu Chaltei Shuv Aveinu Chaltei Shnema Ragli Chassidav Yishmar. That if a person has a specific Aveira that comes up once, twice, and he doesn't give in to his Yetzer Hara, so then he's going to be protected from further violating that Aveira. And that's the Lashon Ragli, is the Lashon of Regalim, it happening several times. Amr Eish Lakish, my Duchsiv, what does the Pasuk teach us when it says, Im La Leitzim Hu Yalitz, Ula Anavim Yitain Chain? So it tells me, Balatame Poschino, if a person wants to do Averos, so they'll open up a Pesach Min HaShemayim to allow him to enter and do those Averos. But Balitair, if a person wants to choose the proper path, not only is a door opened up, Misayeno, so they push him through the door, so it gets a little bit of an extra push to go and do the right thing. Rashi explains, Bal Tayr needs more of a help because there's the Yetzer Hara working very hard against him. So to the Matayr, he needs more Siyata D'Shmaya in order to overcome the Yetzer Hara. That's the drusha from the Pasuk. What's the Pashup Shad of the Pasuk? So Rashi Amishlei writes that if a person follows the path of Leitzim, he's going to be a Leitz together with them. And if he connects himself to Anavim, to people who are humble, so he's also going to be someone that other people appreciate. In the Re'af on the Ein Yaakov, he says that the reason Reish Lakish feels a need to darshan an additional level of interpretation of this pasuk, meaning the simple pshat of the pasuk works very well as well, and it's a message that makes a lot of sense, is because the pasuk says, how does the pasuk read? Im laleitzim hu yalitz ula anavim yitein chein. If it was consistent, it should have said im laleitzim hu yalitz ula anavim hu yitein chein, or im laleitzim yalitz ula anavim yitein chein. Why is there a who in the first half and not in the second half? And that therefore opens up the pasuk to deeper interpretation. If you have a person selling two types of spices, one that smells awful and the other one that smells delicious. So bal limtod neft, when he comes to measure out the neft, the awful smelling spice, the seller will say, "Oh, you want to take some neft? Here. Here's the container. Go fill it up yourself." But if he comes to buy a parsimon, so wait for me, we'll do it together, and that way we'll both smell good. So too, if someone wants to go and be metame himself, they'll just open up the door and say, go do what you want to do. But there's not going to be any siyua, there's not going to be any help. But if he wants to go and do good, so then there's going to be help, because it's like measuring out a parsimon. So there's going to be help along the way. Tanu de Rabbi Ishmael, Aveira mitamtemes libo shel adam. That an Aveira has a negative effect on a person's heart. It closes up a person's heart. He loses, as Rashi writes, he loses the ability to achieve chachma. Right? Rashi writes that mitamtemes otemes v'sosemes mikol chachma. That it closes him off from chachma. In Mesil Shisharim in Perek Yud Aleph, he says that it's mitamtemes leva adam, because it takes away the deya ha'amitis, the ruach ha'chachma el Elokis. It takes away that certain sense of divine inspiration that a person has, and therefore he loses the ability to achieve Chachma. Shenemar, how do I know that an Avera causes Timtum Alev? Because the Pasuk, in the context of eating Shratzim, says, V'lo sitamu bahem v'nit mesem bam. Now the Pasuk is about Achila Shratzim. Lo sitamu bahem sounds like an Isser to become Tame to Usheretz. But there's no Isser of Tumah for non-Kohen. A Kohen is not allowed to become Tame to a maze. A Kohen who does the Avoda has to be careful about his Tumah. There's no Isser of Stam becoming Tame for Yisrael. So we darshan that it's v'nit mesem bam. We use the Lashon of Tumah, but it means mitamte mesalev, that it causes a person not to crave in its mesam, elevenit tamtam. That not just in its mesam, but that it's going to cause a sense of timtum alev. See, I heard bothered by the kasha, where the Rabbi Shmuel taught, aveira mitamtemes libo shaladam, but then the raya is only from achilas shratzim. So is this something that applies to all averos, or is this only something that applies to isurei achila? This is something that's taken seriously by poskim, that achila macholos asuris, Macholos Asuros cause a sense of Timtum Alev. In fact, there's a tshuva in the Chasam Sofer about someone who had to be institutionalized, but the institution that he had to be institutionalized in didn't give kosher food. So the person at that point had a din of a shota. And the only thing is, he may at some point no longer have a din of a shota if the institution does what it's supposed to accomplish. So the Chasam Sofer discusses whether it was a child, whether it's a violation of the mitzvah of chinuch, whether it's a violation of los achilim, and he's not concerned by those things in the end. What he's most concerned about, and what he deals with in the tshuva, is timtum alev. How can you do something that's going to put a person in a position where they're going to have this sense of timtum alev? There's a tshuva in the Rav Pa'alim in Chelek Dalet that someone who eats a davar iser because he doesn't know and he didn't and it was a total onus that it's not mitamtem alev, that timtum alev is only if you do the Avera, either b'mezid, perhaps b'shogeg, but if it's ba'ones, then there's not going to be a sense of timtum alev. So that's a discussion in the Poskim. They had Rabbi Yaakov Luban from the OU wrote a whole article on this when they found the Muncie chicken scandal, when they found all those the kosher store that was selling all those treif for chickens. So a lot of people were nervous about this, that they were eating treif all that time. Are they going to now suffer from timtum alev? So whether they need a kapara, whether you need to kasha the dishes, that everybody spoke about. So Rabbi Luban wrote a whole article in the Masorah Journal, whether there's a concern for timtum alev. It's something that poskim take seriously. Tanu Rabbanan, lo sitamu behem v'nitmesim bam, adam mitame atzvu ma'at, mitame nosa harbe. If a person is mitame himself the Naveira a little bit, so min hashemayim, they open up the door for him to be mitame himself much more. Milamata, a person's mitame himself down here, mitame nosa milamayla. In yeshiva shalmayla, he's also going to become tame bol mazeh, mitame nosa lo naba. He's mitame himself in this world, he's going to be mitame in the next world. Tanu Rabbanan, v'skadashtem v'yisim kadoshim. Adam mekadesh asma ma'at. On the flip side, if a person is mekadesh himself, he brings kedusha into his life a little bit. Mekadshino so harbe. So min hashamayim, there'll be mashpia that he'll have a lot of kedusha. Milamati brings kedusha into his life down here. Mekadshino so milamayla. They're going to give him kedusha milamayla. But olamazem mekadshino so li olam haba. So v'skadashtem means be mekadesh yourself here, and when you do that, v'yisim kedoshim, you're going to be very holy because there's going to be a lot of siyata. Shmaya Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to grant a person Kedusha, Lamaila, and Olam Haba as well. So Hadra Lacham Olam Amun, and now we begin the fourth parak, Taraf Bakalpi. So the fourth parak is going to deal with four basic topics of the Avoda of the Kohen Gadol. The first topic is going to be the Hagralos of the Seirim, and what they then did with the Seirim, tying the Lashon Shel Zuhuris on the Sila Azazel. Second topic is going to be the next Vidui that the Kohen Gadol says on his par, as well as the shchita of the par, the Kabbalah Saddam, the Avodah Saddam of the par. The next topic, the third topic, is going to be the shoveling of the coals in order to be maktir the ketores. And the final topic is going to be certain things that are different on Yom Kippurim than they are in the Avodos of the Beis HaMikdash throughout the rest of the year. So says the Mishnah, Taraf Bekalpi. He sticks his hand now quickly into the box where the two lots are to draw. The hella shnei gorolos, and he quickly pulls out shnei gorolos. Echad kasav alav l'shem, one of them it says la Hashem, echad kasav alav l'azazel, and the other one says on it la azazel. Hasagan miyamin of rosh pesav mismolo. The sagan stands to his right side. The rosh pesav stands on his left side. Im shel shem ola biyamino. If the one that he pulled out with his right hand says la Hashem, hasagan omerlo. So the sagan says, Ishi kohen gadol, hagbe yemincha, lift up your right hand. Vim shel shem ola bismolo. And if the shel shem came in his left hand, rosh pesav omerlo, ishi kohen gadol, hagbe smolcha. Then the rosh pesav makes the announcement that kohen gadol, pick up your left hand. And the son al shnei asirim, after the kohen gadol picks up his hand that's holding the one that says la Hashem, he puts the gorolos on the heads of the two seirim. Whichever one came up in his right hand, he puts on the seir that was on his right side. Whichever one came up in his left hand, he puts on the seir that was on his left side. The Sfasema says he has a suffix. Does he have to do the placing of the gorolos with his right hand? Because normally the avoda always has to be done biyamin. But over here, he picked up one with his right, one with his left. So does he put the one with his right down on the animal on his right side, then transfer it to his right hand and put on the with his right hand onto the animal that's on his left side? Or could he just put them both down at the same time? Because it says, "Menasal shnei asirim gorolos," so maybe it's a mitzvah to put them both on together, and that would override the general obligation to do avodah biyamin, to do everything with his right hand. Sfasem is not sure. So Omer, and he says, Lashem chatas. When he says that at the time that he places the gorol down, he says, Lashem chatas. We know what it is. He just says, say Lashem. It's the seal Lashem. The hey no nachrav. And then once he's saying the word Lashem, he's saying the shem Hashem. So the Kohanim, the Am, that Romdin Bazar, everyone who's there says, Baruch Shem Kol Malch Soli on that. Like we learned, that's based on either Kishem Hashem Ekra HaVagodel Elokeinu or Zechet Tzadik Livracha. That when you hear the Shem Hashem, it demands this response of HaVagodel Elokeinu, of ascribing greatness to the Ribbono Shalom's name. So it says, Gemara Lameli Taref Bakalpi. Why does he have to do quickly? Like Taref means like he quickly snatches it. Why can't he just put his hands in slowly? Because we don't want him to try to dafka choose that the one Lashem should come up in his right hand, because that always looks better if the one on the right side is the one that's Lashem and the one on the left side is the one that's Lazazel. So in order to prevent him from choosing, he has to do it very quickly where he wouldn't have time to choose which one is which. So Yishadon raises the question, why would we assume that b'mezid he's going to violate the mitzvah? Mitzvah is to do garolos. It's not a garol if you're peeking and you're choosing and you're cheating. So why would we assume that he's going to violate he's not going to do the mitzvah properly? So he says, no, because he so badly wants the garol of shame to be biyad yamin, he might forget to do the garol. He might be enticed and forget to do the garol. That's what Tosfos Yishadon says. The Ritva says, no, you don't have to worry that he's going to be mevatel the mitzvah of hagrala. The chashash is that it's going to look like he's being mevatel the mitzvah of hagrala. People are going to think that he did it this way on purpose. So that's why he has to yisim nikiyim, esham liyisrael. He has to snatch it so that no one should even suspect him of any wrongdoing. Tells chadashim, and the Mishnah, he says, what kind of kasha? Throughout the whole Bayis Sheni, the Kohanim Gedolim did a lot worse. So of course we had to be choshesh. Throughout the Bayis Sheni, there were a lot of Kohanim Gedolim that didn't do things properly. So we had to be choshesh that he wasn't going to do it properly. So the Gemara now discusses more halachos relating to the lots that were drawn. Amar Rav Kalpi Shal Eitz Haisa Vishal Chol Haisa. So the box was made out of wood and it was not kodesh. It was not a kli shareis. Ve'ina machzak sal shtei yadayim, and it only had space to fit the two hands of the Kohen Gadol when he stuck his hands in. Maskev Ravina Bishla Ve'ina machzak sal shtei yadayim. I get why it was a very small box. So that he won't be able to feel around and then be able to take the one that he wants with his right hand, Elishal Chol. But why did it have to be made out of Chol? Why was it not Kodesh? Nekatcha. Why aren't we Mekadesh the box? And then you'll be able to do this mitzvah of the Kli Kodesh. Isn't that going to be on a higher level? Seim Kain, because if you were to do that, if you were to be Mekadesh this box, Havala Kli Shareis Shal Eitz, you will then have made a Kli Shareis out of wood with Kli Shareis De Eitz Lavdin. And we don't do that. So says Marav, Navda de Kesef, Navda de Zav, why not make it out of gold? Why not make it out of silver? And then you won't have a problem, then you can be Mekadesh it. No, because the Torah chasa al mamonim shel Yisrael. The Torah is makbid about Jewish money, that we shouldn't be wasteful in Jewish money. Rashi points out that this is derived from the halacha of nigei batil that the pasuk says v'tziva hakohen ufinu asabayis b'tarmi yov hakohen liros nega v'leitami kol asher b'bayis, that before the kohen declares the bayis to have tumas tzaras, where everything in the bayis is then going to become tummy, we clear the house out because atar chasa al mamanim shay yisrael. The Torah is careful that we shouldn't have to lose too much money, so we empty everything out of the house. The Ritva explains that you don't want to spend too much money on the hagrala, because the hagrala is not a real avoda; it's only once a year, and the chiyuv kalpi is not really midaraisa to have a box. They just need garalos. So therefore, it was an unnecessary spending of money. But that's legabe the kalpi. The garalos themselves, we already learned. The Ritva points out the garalos themselves; they were upgraded to gold, and we thought that was a wonderful thing because that is a mitzvah. That is something that's a mitzvah midaraisa. The box itself is not a requirement midaraisa. This concept of Torah Chasa Almanim Shal Yisrael, the Talmud of the Nod B'Yudah, the Tshuva Me'av and Chelek Aleph Siman Dalet, says we find in four places when it comes to Klei HaMikdash that we say the Torah Chasa Almanim Shal Yisrael, and we find four places where we seem to say the opposite, that Ein Aniyus B'Makom Ashirus, that when we're dealing in the Beis HaMikdash, we don't go cheap on anything in the Beis HaMikdash. This is a Makom Ashirus, not a place that we're going to go cheap, and it seems like it's two totally opposite ideas. You know, the places that the Rambam writes in Klei HaMikdash Perek Aleph Halacha Yud, that Klei HaMikdash Shenokvo Shenisku Ain Sos Milosan Matich Milosan Milosan So Chadashim, that if you have a broken kelim, you don't just patch him up. Why? Because they ain't anius from Makom Ashirus. The Rambam writes over there in Perek Ches Halacha Hey that any beged from the Big Day Kuna that becomes dirty, they're not melabin, they're not mischapsin, son. They just turn them into wicks instead, and they'll get new ones. Because ain't anius from Makom Ashirus. If it gets dirty, buy new ones. In Masechta Shkalim, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Gimel, according to Rabbi Kiva, that ain't mistakrim b'shal hegdish. The Gemara says ain't anius from Makom Ashirus. In Masechta Menachos Peches and Beis, the Gemara says according to Rabbi Shuba and Karka, there's a havamina that since the pi neiros hashchuri mashcher hatoru chasal modu sheisol, so the Gemara says, why don't we make zav called ukamash milan that you need zav tar? And the reason is because they need makom ashirus, so we dafka have to use zav tar. And then he goes through the four cases that you have on the other side. So he says he asks his rebbe, the Nod B'Yehuda, what's the pshat over here? Why is it that half the places say ein aniyus makom ashirus and half the places say a Torah chasa al monim shel Yisrael? So he quotes from his rebbe, from the Nod B'Yehuda, bizeh halashon. And you had such a bekius that you knew all four places on each side. When it comes to klisharis, that which is necessary, then we say enanius makom shirus. V'gamda ki kesef lo mikri anius v'afilu b'klisharis amrin be'ator chasa v'osnos an shel kesef makom shen. Whenever we're using silver, you never call that anius. Silver is not anius. To say silver instead of gold, that's not called anius. Silver is quite fancy also. So even within Kli Shares, we're not going to say in anius makom shirus if we're already using silver. And that's why the Rambam paskins by Big Dekuna that become dirty, we're not mechabis them because it's Kli Shares. But the Kalpi Shaleitz, which was Chol, we say that the Torah is Chasa. So you have to come up with some sort of rule. The Nadiv came up with some sort of rule of when we say which principle, because it does seem that we have competing principles. So now the Gemara brings that there's a Machlokas Tanayim, how they would do the Hagrala exactly. Masisin Deloki Aitana, our mission, which says that both hands of the Kohen Gadol went into the box and he pulled out one lot with each hand, is against the following bracelet. The Tanya, Rabbi Dom Mishim Rabbi Lazar, has Sagan the Kohen Gadol machnisin yadon bakalpi. No, the Sagan put his hand in the box as well. So imbi yimino shel Kohen Gadol ola haskan amalish Kohen Gadol ag beyimincha v'imbi yimino shel Sagan ola rosh beisavam lo the Kohen Gadol daber milach. So they both stuck their right hands in. So if the right hand of the Kohen Gadol is one that had the Goral Hashem, so the Sagan would say, pick up your right hand. And if it went in the right hand of the Sagan, the Rosh Beisav would say to the Kohen Gadol, say what you need to say. Say La Hashem Chatas. And then the Kohen Gadol will put the Goral that he had in his hand on the head of the cow, of the goat that was to his left. So you see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Kohen Gadol didn't stick both of his hands in against our Mishnah. So it says Gemara, V'neimalei Sagan, doesn't the Sagan say to the Kohen Gadol, Daber Milach, when he pulls out the Si'ir La Azazel? So Kivin Delo Salik Biyadei Chol Shadaite. Since he didn't get the Gorol Hashem in his hand, the Sagan is the one that got it, so the Kohen Gadol is going to have Chalish Sadas if the Sagan is the one that tells him, Daber Milach. So that's why we have the Rosh Beisav telling him, because it's going to look like the Sagan is bragging. Oh, I got the good one. You say what you got. You announce what you got. That's going to look not nice. So, B'maikamifli, what is the machlokas between our Mishnah and the Tanna of the Braisa? So, Marasavri, meaning the Sagan of the small of the Kohen Gadol, Marasavri, Ki Adodi Ninu. What's better, the left hand of the Kohen Gadol or the right hand of the Sagan? So, Rabbi Yehuda holds the right hand of the Sagan is better, because at least you're doing everything with the right hand, whereas the Tanna of our Mishnah says that they're the same in terms of the level of Chashiva, so you might as well use the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol's left hand, just like the Kohen Gadol does all of the other mitzvos. Mitzvah Hayom. The Tos Yisharim says, but wait a second, aren't all the avodas supposed to be done by a min? How's he allowed to do it bismol? So Tos Yisharim says, when you have no choice, he's only got two hands, there are two things, he can't do everything with one hand. So when you have no choice, you could do things bismol, just like the removing of the kaf and the machta. He only gets to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim one more time, and he's got to remove both kelim, so he's going to have to utilize his left hand then as well. Who's the Tana disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Chinis Kan Akranimu. Our Mishnah must be Rabbi Chinis Kan Titania, why does the Sagan stand to the right of the Kohen Gadol? So simply so that he could take over if something happens to the Kohen Gadol. But he doesn't actively do anything. And that aligns with our Mishnah, where the Sagan does not stick his hand into the box. He doesn't actively do anything. His sole purpose is to take over if something goes wrong. So Tanu Rabbanan, Arba'im Shanashim Shimon HaTzadik. Once we're talking about the Gorolos, so we're going to talk about things that happened in the days of Shimon HaTzadik that were very positive. So 40 years of Shimon HaTzadik was Meshamish, 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik was in charge. We mentioned these five Nisan that Shimon HaTzadik, the Iyun Yaakov says, that they happened corresponding to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah that he fulfilled properly. In the Yerushalmi, there's a sixth Nes that's mentioned, that the Sila Zazel will always split up Evarim before it got halfway down the mountain. So that's corresponding to the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, that everything is corresponds to the Torah that he learned. So Tanu Rabban, Arba'im Shana Shishim Shimon HaTzadik, the 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik was working as a Kohen Gadol, Hayagorol Ola Biyamin, the Gorol HaShem always came up in his right hand. 50-50 chance, but you flip a coin 40 times, and every time it comes up heads, that's exactly what Hashem HaTzadik, 40 years in a row, it always came up LaHashem B'Yamin. Mikan Ve'ilach, Pa'am Mola B'Yamin, Pa'am Mola B'Smol. And then after Hashem HaTzadik, it was 50-50. It wasn't a sign of anything. It was just, it happened, the way chance would happen. By Lashon Shel Zurus, the second thing that happened was that the red string that they would tie on the Seir Mishalech, Malbin, would always turn white when the Seir Mishalech was sent to the Midbar. So they kept one half of the string in the Beis HaMikdash, and they saw that it always turned white. Mikan Ve'elach, Pam Malbin, Pam Eino Malbin. And then after Shimon HaTzadik's Tekufa, sometimes it turned white, sometimes it didn't turn white. So that's not by chance. None of that is natural, that it would... The fact that it would turn white is a miracle in its own right, but it was a symbol of the tshuva being accepted and the kapara being achieved by Klal Yisrael. So sometimes we achieved kapara, sometimes we didn't, but as long as Shimon HaTzadik was our representative, then we always achieved the kapara. Vaya Nerma Ravi Dolik, and the Nerma Ravi of the menorahs, Machlokas and Masechta Menachos, exactly which Ner is the Nerma Ravi, but whatever it was, even after all the other Neros went out, that Nerma Ravi remained lit, even though that was the first one that they lit, it would stay lit until Bein Arbayim, and that's the one they would clean out last. And then after the Shimon HaTzadik, sometimes it would stay lit and sometimes it would not. The Maracha remained on fire, and the Kohanim did not have to bring more Eitzim to feed the fire of the Maracha, except for there's a mitzvah to bring the Shnei Gzirei Eitzim and add it to the maracha. So they did that, but other than that, they didn't have to feed the fire at all. Mikan velech, pam miskaber, pam mein miskaber. But after the days of Shimon HaTzadik, sometimes the fire was strong and sometimes it was not. Lo yukhanim nimna milav yaitzim maracha, kol hayom kulo. And then in those times, the Kohanim did not refrain from bringing eitzim to the maracha all day long. They always brought more eitzim to be mechazik the fire. V'nishtalcha bracha ba'omer, the minchas ha'omer got extra bracha in it. U'b'shtei alechem, u'b'lechem apanim. The food, meaning that was the minchas ha'omer and the shtei alechem, u'b'lechem apanim, the breads had a lot of bracha in it. We'll see what it means. V'kol kohen shemagiyo kezayis, any kohen that got a kezayis of the mincha or of the lechem, and it was so nisbarich b'meyav that yeshoch l'v'saveh, sometimes they would eat just the kezayis and it was enough to satiate them. Yeshoch l'mosir, sometimes there was stuff they couldn't even finish the kezayis because of there was so much bracha in the small amount of food. Mikan ve'elach, but after the patir of Shimon HaTzadik, nishtalcha mi'ira ba'omer b'shei alachem b'lachem apanim. It didn't work out as well. It didn't satisfy the kohanim. V'kol kohen magiyo kippul, every kohen that would get from these menachos, the size of a bean, that's all they would get. So it's new in Moshe Nesidim, the chassidim among the kohanim, wouldn't take any. They wouldn't take such a tiny amount of food. Vagargarin, and the gluttons, notlin, they would take their chelek, and if they only got a little bit, vaochlin, they would take from other people and eat their portions as well. One guy took his chelek and his friend's chelek, they called him the Gazlan until the day of his death. Minchas Chinuch raises the question, why is it that the Tznuin didn't take? That's really not right. There's a mitzvah to eat the lechem apanim. So how could they be mevaseh as a kachem by deciding not to take it, not to eat? So he says, Pachs Mikzayis, there's no mitzvah achila of matnas kuna. So they were nimshach yideim from taking their chelek, which is only the size of a pool, and that's not considered a bizayin to the matnas kuna. But when each one got a shir kezayis, of course they were not moshe kenes yideim. If they got a shir kezayis, then they have a mitzvah achila, meaning the idea that it gets eaten. Okay, yeah, you also have to make sure that it gets eaten. But the mitzvah achila is only if you're going to actually eat a kezayis. So it was going to get eaten because the other guys were taking everybody else's portion anyway. They didn't have to worry that it was not going to get eaten. But they didn't want to eat just stam to eat. They wanted to eat if they were going to have a mitzvah achila. Amar Rabbi Rav Shila, Mikra, what's the pasuk that teaches us that chamtzin means a gazlan? Because David HaMelech tells us in Tehillim, Elokai palteini miyad rasha, mikaf ma'avel v'chomets. From people who are ma'avel v'chomets. Rava Amar, so you see, chomets means a gazlan. Rava Amar mehacha, that we learned it from Yeshayahu HaNavi, when he's giving mussar to the Jewish people that they should abandon their averos, so limdu etiv dirshu mishpat, ashru chamot. We should teach each other properly to do to judge people who do wrong and to straighten out any injustices that are caused by chamot, which is chamas, which is thievery. Ashru chamot v'al ta'ashru chomet. We can be medayik that we should be to be mechazik the nigzal and not the gazlan. That when two people come, you have to pay to come to a beis din. We have to first deal with the tainas of the nigzal, of the one who was wronged and not the one who did the stealing. Tan Rabbanan. Also Shana Shemes b'Shimon HaTzadik, the very year that Shimon HaTzadik died, Amar Lahem b'Shana Zu Humes. He told his Talmidim, this is going to be the year that I die. So Amar Lahem, Minayin HaTzayodeh, how do you know that this is going to be, that you're going to die dafka this year? So Amar Lahem, B'chol Yom HaKippur Mayim is Davin Lizakin Echol Lavash Levanim Batul Levanim. Every year I see a certain Zakein who's totally clothed in white, and Nichnas Yimi V'Yatzimi, he comes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim together with me, and he leaves the Kodesh HaKadoshim together with me, Vayom, but this Yom Kippur in his Dami Lizakin Echol Lav Shcharim Vatav Shcharim. That Zakein was now dressed all in black, Nichnas Yimi V'lo Yatzi Yimi, and he came in with me, but he did not leave with me. And now he took as a simon that Malach HaMavis was going to get him. Achar Regal, after Sukkos Cholosh of Yomim Umeis, he got sick for 7 days and he died. V'nimnu Echav Kohanim Levarich B'Shem, and the other Kohanim didn't do the Birch Kohanim B'Shem Amfurish like they had done until that point, because they didn't know how to do it, B'Kedusha V'Tara, the way they could when Shimon HaTzadik was still alive. The Yerushalmi raises a question that Rabbi Yavohu asked, how could it be that there was this guy, there was a Zakein that came with him, even if it was a Malach, the Pasuk says, V'kol Adam L'yeh Ba'ol Moed, V'vol L'chaper B'kol B'shad Tzeisav, Kohen Gadol's got to go in on his own. And we darshan that even Malachim, the Pasuk in Yechezkel says, Udmus Penei and Penei Adam, so even Malachim are not allowed to go in together with the Kohen Gadol when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So how could this Zakein go in with him? So that's the kasha that's raised. So in the Sefer Torah Sa'ola, he says, "Nah, this was a vision. It wasn't that anyone was actually going in with him at that time, but it was a vision that he had. It was like a nevuah that he had. So that vision was an indication to him." Okay, Tan Rabban, on the flip side, Arbaim Shana called him Churban Abayis for 40 years before the Churban Abayis, Loya Gorlol Biyamin, Veloya Lashon Shalzurus Malbin, Veloya Nermar Ravi Dolik, Vayodas Sechon Neptachas Me'alein. So the first three things that we said were the exact opposite of what happened in days of Shimon HaTzadik. The Gorol Hashem never came up in the right hand. The Lashon Shalzurus never turned white. The Nermar Ravi was never remained lit last. And the doors of the Heichal, Vayodas Sechon Neptachas Me'alein, they opened up on their own as if to say, enemies, come into the Heichal, it's all yours. Atcher Gorba and Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai, till Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai lashed out at them. Amar lo, Heichal, Heichal, Mimreimatam, Abbas Atzmacha, why are you frightening yourself? We know that you're ultimately going to be destroyed. Kvar Nisnavei Elecha Zecharia Benido. Zecharia Navi already was Misnavei about this. Psach Levanon Dlosecha Vesoch Aleish Parazecha. That the Beis HaMikdash was called Levanon. It's going to open up its doors and it's going to burn in fire. Amar Yisrael Ben Tavloi Lama Nikra Shema Levanon Shemal Ben Avon Hosein Shal Yisrael. It's called Levanon because it whitens the sins of the Jewish people. We get kapara from the sins of from our sins through the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Zutra Bar Tuvia Lama Nikra Shema Ya'ar. Why is the Beis HaMikdash called the forest? Tichsev Beis Ya'ar Alavanon Lomel Chama Ya'ar Milav Lev. Just like it sprouts, Af Beis HaMikdash Milav Lev. It also, the things that were planted in the Beis HaMikdash, even if they wouldn't naturally grow elsewhere, would grow. They would sprout. Where do we find that? Damra Vashaya B'Shar Shabban Shlomo Beis HaMikdash Shlomo Melch built the Beis HaMikdash. V'Natabo Kol Minei Migad Mishal Zav. He planted gold plants in it. V'Yimotzin Peros B'Zmanei, and it will produce golden fruit. V'Kibush Arok Min Hashem's Ben, and when the wind blew, Hayinoshem Perosayim, the golden fruits would fall off. Shenemer Yerush Kalvan and Birio, Umehena is a Parnasa Lukuna, and that provided Parnasa for the Kohanim by selling those golden fruits. The Kibish Nichus of the Chavim Hechel, and the Yavdi Chavim entered into the Hechel. Yavshu, those golden trees dried up. Shenamar, because the Pasuk says in the Nevuah, in Nachum of the promise of Klal Yisrael, Uperach Levanon Umlal, that it dried up. Va'asirah Kodesh Baruch Hu La'zir Lanu. But one day Hashem is going to bring that back to us. La'asadava Shenemar, because the pasuk in Yeshayahu tells us, Parach Tifrach V'Tagel Avkilas Veranin Kavod Halvanon Nital Nashem. That the dried up land, the desolate land, is going to sprout again, and will rejoice in that sprouting of the land, and the covenant of the Beis HaMikdash, which is called the Vanon, is also going to go back to what it was originally. The sun and al shnei seirim. So then we said the Kohen Gadol takes the two lots and he puts it on the two seirim. So Tanya Rabban, Eser Pam and Masker Kohen Gadol Shem Bo Bayom. 10 times during the course of the day in Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol mentions the Shem Hashem. Shlosh b'vidu rishon, 3 times in the first video he says on the par when he's misvada for the avonos of his own family. Ushlosh b'vidu sheni, 3 more times, the second time he says vidu on the par when he's misvada for the averos of the other kohanim. Ushlosh b'sir mishtalech, 3 more times by when he's misvada in the sir mishtalech. V'achad b'gorolos, and 1 time when he calls out LaHashem to determine the gorolos. Ukvar amar Hashem v'nishma kolo b'yericho, and this was heard from far away. When he would say the Shem Hashem, it was heard all the way in Yericho. Amar Rav Bachanim Yerushalayim liYericho asar parsos. That's quite a distance. It's 10 parsos away. That's how strong his voice was. V'tzir dalsos heichal, and the pivots on the doors of the heichal when they would open up, nishma b'shmona tchumei Shabbos, could be heard 8 parsos away, which is 2 parsos away, which is 8 tchumei Shabbos away. The izim should be yericho yomisachos mirechak torus, and the fragrance of the ketores was so strong that goats in yericho were sneezing from the smell of the ketores. Nashim should be yericho and yisrichol spasim. Women from yericho didn't need to put on perfume mirech ketores because they were naturally perfumed from the reach of the ketores. Kala should be yishlaim and yisrichol iskashet mirech ketores. The kala should be yishlaim didn't require any special kishutim, any special perfumes because of the reach of the ketores. Amar Rav Lazar ben Deglai, izim ayu la'aba bahadei michvar, that my father had goats vayumis achos mirech ketores in a place called Hari Michvar, which was a certain neighborhood, and they would also sneeze just from the reich of the ketores. It was such a strong aroma that they were that it affected them as well. Amr Abchir Bar Avin, Amr Rabbi Shua Ben Karcha, Sach Li Zaken Echad, Pam Achas Halach Li L'Shilo, V'Rach Li Reach Ketores, Mi Ben Kosel. One time I went to the place where Mishkan Shilo was, meaning this is after the destruction of Mishkan Shilo, this, nevertheless, but that's where the Mishkan was at the time of Chalukas Haaretz, until the Aron went into Galus in the end of the days of Eli HaKohen, and even though it was such a long time after Mishkan Shilo was destroyed, you could still smell the ketores from between the walls. That's how strong the reach haketores was. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Amar Rabbi Yanai tomorrow, and we'll go from there, from 10 lines from the bottom of the page. Okay, great day, everyone.
Have a great day. Some good